Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock.
Nashville weather for today, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm this afternoon with mostly cloudy skies and a high in the mid-80s. 76 degrees right now in Nashville at 9 o'clock.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, Public Radio's tough, no-holds-barred game with words. No quarter asked, none given. No, I could give you a hint and get it right away.
Well, give me a hint and I'll get it right away.
It was the... We unearth the hidden facts, get to the roots of the issue, make the unknowable known.
Too much tequila.
Yes.
Makes people swallow the jewelry.
Well, there's no doubting that, no, but that's not it. Yeah. But through it all, there courses a feeling of camaraderie, friendship, good sportsmanship.
You can make some noise over here.
Makes it, oh, on the other side, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh,
don't
yeah.
you just want to hit him with a custard pie?
Absolutely.
Honestly. All of which you can witness when we return.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Tropical Storm Lee is apparently in no hurry to go anywhere. The center of the storm made landfall in coastal Louisiana this morning, and Dennis Falcon of the National Hurricane Center in Miami says Lee is dumping heavy rain as it stretches out across the central Gulf Coast.
Lee is inland now over the south central Louisiana coastline, drifting very, very slowly to the north. It will move more to the northeast and then east-northeast as we get into later on this afternoon and tonight. So generally moving across southern Louisiana almost at a crawl. We don't expect any increase in forward speed until sometime on Monday.
Falcon is also keeping an eye on Hurricane Katia. Katia is in the open Atlantic and regained hurricane status today. The storm is still far out to sea, and forecasters say it does not pose any threat to land right now. President Obama will be heading to New Jersey today to survey the damage Hurricane Irene left behind. He'll be touring hard-hit Paterson, New Jersey with Governor Chris Christie. In Japan, and a powerful typhoon has killed at least 15 people and left more than 40 others missing. Heavy rain from the storm has swollen rivers and triggered mudslides. Forecasters warn there could be more flooding and landslides because that storm is also moving very slowly. In the Libyan town of Bani Walid, rebel forces are poised to attack but say they're hoping to seize the town without resorting to hostilities. Bani Walid is one of Muammar Gaddafi's last strongholds. NPR's Jason Bobian reports that rebel leaders are trying to work out a settlement.
Negotiations are going on right now. They're just sitting in the shade by the side of this concrete building. They're trying to work out a negotiated settlement. You know, one man just told us that his family's in there, his brother's in there. They don't want to go in there and fight. They want to be able to raise the rebel flag peacefully and hope that the town will surrender and this can be settled through negotiations.
NPR's Jason Bobian reporting on the road to Bani Walid. After 3 months of fighting sexual assault charges in the U.S., former International Monetary Fund chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn is back in France. He returned home to massive media attention. Eleanor Beardsley reports that although the charges were dropped in New York, France is still rattled by the scandal.
French television showed Strauss-Kahn and his wife Anne Sinclair met by a throng of journalists at the airport. The couple was later shown smiling in the courtyard of their luxurious Paris apartment. Though sexual assault charges in the U.S. have been dropped, Strauss-Kahn still faces a civil suit from his New York accuser. The former French political star also faces possible charges of attempted rape brought by a young French woman. Though Strauss-Kahn's presidential ambitions have been ruined by the three-month saga, many of his friends spoke in support of him. But the affair has clearly taken its toll on the French people. A recent poll shows that 53% of the French said they do not want to see Strauss-Kahn return to politics in any capacity. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley.
And you're listening to NPR News. Pakistan's interior minister is asking for official help from Afghanistan, where more than 30 young Pakistanis are being held captive by Islamist militants. The minister is calling on Afghan President Hamid Karzai to help win the hostages' freedom. They were abducted in Afghanistan 4 days ago. The Pakistani Taliban is claiming responsibility, saying it abducted the boys because they belong to a tribe opposed to the militants. A new British study reports that suicide bomb attacks in Iraq have killed thousands of Iraqis since the 2000 2003 U.S.-led invasion. NPR's Ghassan Adnan reports the study put the total death toll at over 100,000.
The London-based medical journal, The Lancet, has released a study saying that suicide bomb attacks killed 12,000 Iraqis between 2003 and the end of 2010. This number represents 11% of the total death toll, according to the British study. The study depended on data compiled by an independent public group, which uses reports from hospitals and non-governmental organizations, as well as official reports about violence in Iraq. The study says also that suicide bomb attacks killed 200 coalition troops, including 175 U.S. soldiers. Suicide attacks are one of the main tactics used by Al-Qaeda in Iraq. The latest suicide attack killed around 30 people at a mosque in Baghdad last week. Ghassan Adnan, NPR News, Baghdad.
Iran's first nuclear power plant is reportedly now generating electricity. Media reports in Iran quote the deputy nuclear chief as saying the plant is now generating around 60 megawatts of power and that the plant is connected to the national power grid for a test run. Tehran denies Western fears that its nuclear program is aimed at making atomic weapons. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Carnegie Corporation of New York, a foundation created to do what Andrew Carnegie called real and permanent good, celebrating 100 years of philanthropy.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Geneva, New York comes from Hobart and William Smith Colleges. And the good folks at WEOS-FM in Geneva.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. Thank you. From the stage of the Smith Opera House in Geneva, New York, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. Don't let the California tan and the Hollywood good looks throw you. He belongs in radio like the rest of us. Mr. Doug Palau. Oh, please. Don't let her poise, grace, and beauty take you in. She's a wise guy just like the rest of us. Francine Akbar. And don't let his boyish charm and rakish manner beguile you. He's just as confused as the rest of us, Mr. Tony Khan. And who will captain this week?
Smarty Pants Akbar.
Francine.
Diane.
To my left, team two. He almost took the wrong plane, turned east instead of west, but somehow he's here tonight. The incredibly dedicated Arnie Reisman. Yeah. There she sat at his side throughout the whole ordeal, the incredibly restrained Paula Lyons. And there she was in the back seat thinking, I never thought it would end like this. The incredibly relieved Carolyn Faye Fox. Who captains on this occasion?
Me.
Arnie. Mr. Reisman.
Well, captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points, or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a category suggested by good friend Frank Cunningham of Arlington, Massachusetts. Each year he attends the Ig Nobel Awards. Yes. Prizes given to researchers whose accomplishments at first make one laugh and then think. For example, last year's literature prize went to Ireland's police service for writing and presenting more than 50 traffic tickets to the most frequent driving offender, Prawo Jazdy, whose name in Polish means driver's license. So for 10 points, from the clues provided, please tell me what the following winners from last year might have done to merit recognition. Carolyn, listen to the clues.
Okay.
Cross my heart, the Public Health Prize, went to a trio of Chicago researchers for their work in emergency air filtration. What was their award-winning contribution?
Air filtration.
Emergency air filtration. Oh, was it some sort of a emergency air filtration?
Cross
my
heart.
Is this a bra sort of thing?
They removed a bra from someone.
Well, the second part is actually, you know, this is the real deal here. They actually invented something.
What do you mean the real deal?
They invented, let's see.
Emergency air filtration. I see. A breathable bra.
A breathable bra.
Well, in a way.
A bra that takes itself off.
A bra that's,
hands-free bra.
I think the applications for which are mind-numbing.
Sold at fraternities everywhere.
Hobart and William Smith College. Take note. You gotta.
Is it a bra that can also be used as a face mask when you enter a burning building?
Well.
Oh, it can also be used as a mask to protect your face from
not only your face.
You can bring someone.
You can bring a partner.
But a burn. Yes, exactly. I am not kidding you. Elena Bodnar, Raphael C. Lee, and Sandra Marjan, I hope, of Chicago, invented a brassiere that in an emergency can be quickly converted into a pair of protective face masks, one for the brassiere wearer and one for a nearby bystander.
And remember to put your own on first before you...
This is assuming a generous size, I would
suppose. Yeah. Well, it's air filtration.
Oh, boy.
Goodness.
These are the Ig Nobel Awards.
Yeah.
And, how about this one, Tony? The prize in physics.
Yes.
In physics. Went to a U.S. team for their studies in prenatal equilibrium.
Oh.
What work did they do that was considered prize-worthy?
Prenatal equilibrium. If you really need to, you can juggle twins before they're born.
I hope not.
Although why you'd ever want to, well, that's next year's research project for which they've applied to the NIH for $2 billion.
For a large grant.
Prenatal equilibrium. Everybody should be happy before they're born because your chances of it's happening after,
No, this is physics. This is real physics.
Prenatal equilibrium.
Maybe they have measured whether babies got dizzy on carnival rides. Babies in utero.
In utero.
Got dizzy on... You know, it's a wonderful...
What a great idea.
I don't know how they gather the data.
It's a $1 million idea.
But, you know, but it's a great guess. No, that's not it.
Prenatal equilibrium.
Yeah.
Well, is physics...
doesn't affect the baby.
But is there a physics concept involved?
Yes, there is a physics concept.
Equilibrium. Involved. Equilibrium is
which
where you are.
Is it something to like counterweight, do the counterweight to the weight down here to make the back?
The weight down here has everything to do with it.
All right, so a way of making it feel as if you're not pregnant when you are.
No, that's not it.
Oh, something to counterbalance.
Yeah, that's kind
those
of what it says.
30 pounds.
Well, in a way, you know, in a way, they're right. But that's not exactly it, but that's why they were doing the study. Does anyone know what it might be? Well, Catherine Whitcomb of the University of Cincinnati, Daniel E. Liberman, and Liza J. Shapiro got the prize for analytically determining why pregnant women don't tip over.
Why is that? How exactly did they conduct a research for this?
I'm going to show you why they don't tip over. You'll have to explain what I'm doing here.
She's standing up, folks.
They walk like this.
Do walk like that. That's exactly right.
All right.
So they put their hand on their back, so their arm is and their shoulder is kind of counterbalancing the weight on the front.
That was the prize in physics. All right. Let's try this one, Arnie. This is an interesting one, actually. The Veterinary Medicine Prize went to a pair of English researchers for their lacto-nominal studies, what did they discover?
Dogs eat ice cream.
No.
Lacto-nominal.
Lacto-nominal.
Would it be the names of cows?
Exactly. Do you know what it has to do with?
The names of cows.
Well,
naming cows, how it influences how much milk they give.
That is exactly right. 10 points. That is exactly right.
Where do you get these grants?
These are the...
I want to line up right now.
Well, this was from the University of Newcastle, Newcastle University, Newcastle-on-Tyne in England. Oh. Catherine Douglas and Peter Rawlinson demonstrated that cows who have names give more milk than cows that don't.
Demonstrated this, they
yeah.
did.
Everybody likes to be recognized.
I assume that's...
Yes.
I think if you name the cow, you put more into the cow. You know,
well, people have been naming plants and talking to them, so I suppose... Yeah.
I suppose that's it. All right, try this one. This is just awful, and I can't believe I'm giving it to you, Francine, but I am.
Neither can I. Okay.
The Ig Nobel Chemistry Prize, and listen to this clue, the Ig Nobel Chemistry Prize went to a salty citric group of Mexican chemical gemologists. What do you suppose was their prize-winning accomplishment?
Salty citric group. Gemology.
Okay, so salt and lemon juice go with a tequila.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
A shot of tequila.
Yes,
so gemologists,
right.
People who study...
Gemstones.
Right, gemstones. Too much tequila. Okay, too much tequila makes people swallow the jewelry.
Well, there's no doubting that. No, but that's not it. Yeah.
They cut the facets of the...
They are real chemical gemologists. They are.
Oh, you can clean a diamond if you stick it in tequila?
That is so. No, that's not it. But you're starting to get there. So
you can get a diamond really drunk.
You can erode a diamond if you stick it in tequila.
No, it's not about eroding a diamond.
Polishing.
It's almost exactly the
opposite.
Building
it. Building
making
a diamond.
You can make a diamond from tequila.
What are we waiting for?
Yep, just the response I knew I'd get from this upstate New York audience. Yes, sirree. Javier Morales, Miguel Apatiga, I hope I pronounced this right, and Victor Castaño for creating diamonds from liquid, specifically tequila.
Really?
How this was accomplished, I don't know, but these people deserved an award for that.
Doesn't speak well of what's going on in your stomach.
No, it doesn't. Really. Good point. So to all of you who have kidney stones, cut out the tequila.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Oh my God. All right, Paula. They get more rotten as we go along.
Ooh, yummy.
The Peace Prize.
Oh, yeah.
The Peace Prize, this is, went to a Swiss team for their research into the lager cranial confluence. What did they discover?
Lager.
That beer on the brain promotes peace.
It probably does. That's not what they discovered, and you're going to get some points for this.
Oh, of course.
Do we mean lager as in beer?
We do.
So beer-headed. Oh, lager cranial confluence.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
We're talking about the head on a beer?
Not the head on the beer, no.
No, the guy who drinks it, his head, what happens to it?
Something happens to it, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, it becomes...
Lager cranial confluence.
Leads to a swelled head. When people drink together, they make peace together.
Let's see. The more you drink, the more you're in the bathroom, so there will be less war.
Yes.
Is that...
The more you pee. Yeah.
Is lager being spelled L-A-G-E-R?
They get the pee prize. The peas prize. Because...
Fine, I don't care.
Cut it off.
You think I should leave that in?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the people have spoken.
And?
It has nothing to do with that, and I gave you the 10 points.
I thought it was the conference that Obama arranged between...
Cambridge Cop. And
what a great guess. Yeah.
That's a
Didn't he have a sort of high class beer?
He did. No. They had beer out on the lawn at the White House to resolve their differences.
It was not that though. Anyone in the audience want to guess?
Beer heads.
From the back.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Stephen Ballinger, Stephen Ross, Lars Osterhelwig, and a few others at the University of Bern. For determining by experiment whether it's better to be smashed over the head with a full bottle of beer or an empty bottle.
Better a lager cranial nexus, of course.
This was the Peace Prize?
Yes. Yes.
Because no one was left after it was
Refer you.
Finally, we got some peace here. Give them the prize.
I refer you to our fuller empty beer bottles, sturdier, and does their fracture threshold suffice to break the human skull?
Swiss, eh?
Yes,
invented the cuckoo clock, did they?
got to be an application for that. And Doug, you'll get 10 points for just about anything here. But see if you can determine the Ig Nobel Award for Medicine went to a California researcher for his diligent investigation of metacarpophalangeal cavitation.
Oh, God.
What findings secured his fame? Metacarpophalangeal cavitation.
Cavitation?
Cavitation.
Does that mean making a hole or pressing something
down? Yes, it does.
Yeah. Or digging into a hole.
That's the reason for what happens.
What's the phalanges?
But the metacarpophalangeal is what you want to go to.
Yeah.
Metacarpal.
Something to do with cracking your fingers?
It has everything to do with cracking your fingers. That's the 10 points. Can you figure out what it might have been?
What prize did he get again?
Medicine.
Medicine.
How's good for you?
You know, that fills out the 10 points.
Huh?
Donald L. Unger of Thousand Oaks, California, for investigating a possible cause of arthritis of the fingers by diligently cracking the knuckles of his left hand, but never his right hand, every day for more than 60 years.
Talk about a life's work. And what was the result?
And the result was that there was no arthritis in either hand.
Oh, so it has nothing to do with it.
So,
60 years of nothing.
60 years of cracking his knuckles on one hand only proved that it didn't necessarily cause arthritis.
There you go.
Oh.
And thanks very much to Frank Cunningham for sending us that question. We appreciate it, Frank. Let's see later. This gives me a chance to thank our scorekeepers for tonight's game. That's Nick and Isaac Abdo, and of course the supervisor, Mr. Jeremy Barber. Thank you very much, guys, for keeping the score this week. Your services will shortly be needed, gentlemen, as we are now going on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the East Hill Classic Jazz Quartet. It is the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Arnie, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have blank cards. And those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Francine's team. 10 points up for grabs to Francine if she can find the bluffer word. To you, Arnie, if she can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word inkle. I-N-K-L-E, inkle. Gentlemen?
Well, hello, Dolly. Well, hello, Dolly. It's so nice to have you back where you belong. You're looking swell, Dolly. I can tell, Dolly. You're still growing, you're still blowing, you're still hanging on. I feel the Smith Opera House swaying while this jazz band's playing one of those old sad smooth tunes from way back when. So, golly gee, fellas, find her an empty knee. Oh, Dolly, don't never go away again. Take it, Drew.
Boston, Massachusetts. Hartford, Connecticut. Seattle, Washington. All stops on Says You's Fall Caravan of Cajolery. On Saturday, September 24th, we open the season at St. Joseph College in West Hartford. Then on Saturday, October 15th, it's matinee and evening performances at Bemis Hall in Lincoln, Massachusetts. Then in November, it's off to Seattle for two shows at Town Hall and a community Says You in Port Townsend. Tickets, information, and details are available at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou, where if you follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. So remember, it's Hartford in September, Boston in October, and Seattle in November. Live performances of Says You. Says You returns after this from home.
President Obama is about to present his jobs plan, and with unemployment stuck at about 9%, both parties say it better be big and bold. I'm Orrin Almy. On To the Point, Democrats want stimulus, Republicans want cuts and deregulation. If partisan discord won't let anything happen at all, what's in store for the economy? How will voters react in next year's elections? Next time on To the Point from Public Radio International.
Weeknights at 8 o'clock.
September 11th has been called this generation's Pearl Harbor. One key difference, there weren't the long lines at military recruiting offices.
But for me, I really felt that we had been attacked. It felt like a Pearl Harbor moment, and I felt like I had to do something.
A 9/11 recruit who traded his coat and tie for a flight suit. Tuesday morning at 6:34 and 8:34 here on Nashville Public Radio.
You're listening to Says You here on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. Support for our programming is made possible in part by community support. Many companies will match gifts to Nashville Public Radio made by employees and retirees. Ask your employer if they have a matching gift program or find out more in the membership section of our website at WPLN.org. The time is 9:26, 76 degrees in Nashville.
Classic Jazz Quartet. Mr. Brian Earle on the clarinet, Drew Freck on banjo, Steve Brown on the bass, and Johnny Russo on trumpet, trombone, and vocals. Thank you, guys. We have had a little time with the word inkle. I love saying that, inkle. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Inkle. Inkle is a crimp in a garden hose. There'll be no sprinkle if your hose has an inkle.
You laugh as if she's speaking metaphorically.
A crimp in a garden hose is an inkle. Yes. Could be that. Or Arnie's something else.
Well, actually, it refers to someone who has come to a Says You show and gotten a seat without buying a ticket. Or to crash a party. It's a verb that means you're attending a party to which you were never invited. You're inkling in.
You're inkling in. Right. To crash a party is to inkle.
Yep.
It's an interesting definition. Could be that. Paula, what have you got for us?
Inkle. To hint or insinuate. Inkle.
To hint or insinuate. To inkle. Oh, that's a good possibility. It could be that also. It is either to hint and insinuate, to crash a party, or the old crimp in the garden hose. It is one of those three. And the choice, Francine, is yours.
Yes, well, my colleague, Mr. Kahn, and I have been discussing whether the very obviosity of to hint as in I have an inkling, is so obvious that we should avoid it, or so apparent that we should choose it.
Yes.
Always a question. And if not that, what?
Well, you know, I don't think I'll ever stop hearing the phrase "a crimp in a garden hose" in my head. I think it's just that? One of those phrases, just like it's going to stay with you forever.
It is.
In a garden home.
But who's ever heard it in that context?
I just want to give it the honor of a vote. Just because I like it so much. A crimp in a garden hose.
Let's go with crimp.
You want to go with crimp?
Tony?
Well, you know my feeling on the matter. It's.
I don't mean to upset you any further. But.
No, it's a sentimental favorite. What can I say?
Francine, you're a captain. The choice is yours.
I'm going to go with obviousity.
Oh, okay.
To hint.
To hint or insinuate. That was your definition, Paula. Is that, in fact, what inkle means?
No.
10 points for that team.
If it's a crimp in a garden hose, you're in big trouble.
Audience, what do you think? That's pretty close out there. It's a pretty split vote, so we're just going to have to find out who up there was telling the truth.
Not me.
To attend a party to which one has not been invited.
Is to ankle.
I'm glad I didn't listen to my teammates.
Let's go on to round 3. The following is a contribution from Bruce Miller from KCRW land in Oxnard, California. His category is called incrementals. Each of the following phrases can be defined by two words with a small incremental difference. One word differs from the other only by the addition of one letter. For example, the main cook would be the chief chef.
Okay.
All right, let's try this. Carolyn?
Mm-hmm.
What two-word phrase differing by one letter can be used to describe a relevant Teuton?
Teuton?
Teuton. T-E-U-T-O-N.
Oh.
Teuton.
Germain German?
A Germain German is exactly right. Very good. G-E-R-M-A-N-E-N German is how you would do that. Try this one, Tony. A tyrant repository.
Tyrant repository. Why do you tempt me like that?
Just
repository.
Yeah.
Tyrant. Repository safe.
You're right.
Tyrant.
That is a quiet side tonight.
Repository.
We have to.
We could make some noise over here.
And the other side has it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Want to hit him with a custard pie?
Absolutely.
Honestly. A tyrant. Any other words for it? I should have actually said a tyrant station. That would have been better.
Station.
I think it's a blank slate.
Oh, it's a blank.
You're going to kill yourselves.
Yes.
I'm going to the other side for.
And it's a despot depot.
It is a despot depot. With the difference, of course, being the letter S, D-E-S-P-O-T-D-E-P-O-T, a despot depot. All right, you're good at this other side. Try this. What two words would describe preserving twine?
This is for me?
Oh, Arnie, I'm sorry. Arnie, preserving twine.
Twine.
Would it be string?
The other side has it.
Oh, storing string.
Storing string, yeah.
Storing Very string good. Is Very right. Good. Very good. That's excellent.
Excellent.
Try this one, Francine. What two words would be described by pudding wasteland?
Pudding?
Pudding?
Oh,
desert. Desert.
Desert dessert is exactly right. Very good. Try this one, Paula. A ready-to-function fowl.
Fowl, and can you spell?
F-O-W-L.
F-O-W-L.
Ready-to-function fowl.
Turnkey turkey.
Boy, they're just putting it together over there. Just putting it together.
Very good.
And try this one, Doug. A speedy attack.
Speedy attack.
Yeah. A lunge plunge? No.
Fast.
Attack.
Oh, boy.
Speedy attack.
A fast.
Swift.
Swift.
I don't think this is your category. Oh. I don't think the other side has it either, actually.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But I don't think anybody got it up there. I go to the audience.
Rapid raid.
A rapid raid is what it is. R-A-P-I-D, R-A-I-D, yeah. different by the letter P.
Give them the word.
See, I was trying to add.
Yeah, there you go. Not your category, you guys. Sorry about that. This week's Spotlight Round comes at the request of Sue Stred of Syracuse, New York. On the very first program I ever heard, she writes, I was immediately hooked after a round where famous names were all strung together. The last name of the first was the first name of the second, and so on. Thus, former Veep turns novelist turns hairstylist was Al Gore Vidal Sassoon. Could you feature that one as a spotlight round? Tonight's the night, Sue. Play along with Barry Nolan in a Season 5 round of Name Chains. Carolyn,
mm-hmm.
controversial comedian,
mm-hmm.
turned kung fu film star,
mm-hmm.
turned $6 million man.
Bruce Lee Majors.
Hey! Can I hit him?
Yes, you may.
Bruce Lee Majors.
Well, you're missing something.
Lenny Bruce Lee Majors.
There you go. Lenny Bruce Lee Majors, yes. Controversial comedian turned kung fu film star turned $6 million man.
Okay.
Tony,
mm.
failed presidential candidate turned beach boy turned waiter for midnight.
Oh, man. Didn't vote for him, wasn't there, and never heard it.
Failed presidential candidate turned beach boy turned waiter for midnight.
Ooh, yes.
Ooh.
Waiter.
Evidently, Mr. Reisman has a line on this. Yeah.
The fairy tale person at the end that's waiting for midnight, right?
Who's that?
That's Cinderella.
No.
For midnight?
Waiting
no?
for midnight. Oh, that's a great one. But
waiting for
the midnight hour.
Waiting
oh,
for the midnight
all right.
Hour.
Who, wait.
No,
Otis Redding.
Not Otis Redding, no.
Ray Charles.
No, not Ray Charles.
Connor, who said wait for the midnight hour?
Wait,
who sang wait for the midnight hour?
Oh, the other side is beaming. This side is puzzled.
Well,
we go to the other side for him.
William Jennings Bryan Wilson Pickett.
William Jennings Bryan Wilson Pickett, yes. Very good. The failed presidential candidate is William Jennings Bryan. The Beach Boy is Brian spelled the other way, Wilson. And, of course, Waiter for Midnight is Wilson Pickett, waiting for the midnight hour. Arnie, half of a pop song writing duo...
What?
Half of
a pop song writing duo turned glam rock star turned former baseball commissioner.
Okay. Hal David Bowie Kuhn.
Evidently, we... Evidently, we have managed to isolate one of Mr. Reisman's strong points.
Insanity.
Hal David Bowie and Bowie Kuhn, the former baseball commissioner. Francine, try this one.
I'm not even here.
Yeah. Try it anyway.
Left the room.
Doris Day role turned Mother Knows Best turned Lawman Earp.
Okay, Jane Wyatt Earp.
Doris Day role.
Turned Mother Knows Best, turned Lawman.
Mother Knows Best.
Calamity Jane Wyatt Earp.
There you go.
10 points. Calamity Jane Wyatt Earp. Very good. Try this one, Paula.
No.
Former Beatle turned adventure movie hero turned 20th century American writer.
Former Beatle. Who's the drummer that dropped out? What was his name?
Oh, Best. Now, say it again.
Former Beatle turned adventure movie hero turned 20th century American writer.
Movie hero. Peter Best are we going with?
No.
No. Okay. Oh.
Harrison Ford. Right? George Harrison?
George Harrison Ford Maddox.
Yeah. Oh, they pulled it out at the end. Very good. George Harrison Ford Maddox Ford. George Harrison.
That 20th
Harrison
century
Ford,
writer Maddox. Was where I was at.
Very good.
Maddox Ford. All
and
right.
finally, Barry, it's mostly for the glory. Wartime prime minister turned pop star
turned pop megastar turned modern artist.
Wartime.
Very hard.
Wartime prime minister.
Wartime prime minister is Winston Churchill.
Now, see, no. I didn't like that clue.
Gladstone? Chamberlain?
No, not Chamberlain.
Not Chamberlain.
Attlee?
Clement Attlee?
No, actually, it's David, wartime.
Not Neville Chamberlain, because he wasn't the prime minister.
Right. Wartime prime minister, yeah. Turned pop star, yeah. Turned pop megastar, yeah. Turned modern artist.
Can I go? Oh.
I think we're going to have to pass on the glory on this one.
Okay.
This is absolutely Arnie's category.
Lloyd George Michael Jackson Pollock.
Lloyd George Michael Jackson Pollock is exactly right. David Lloyd George, Michael Jackson, and Jackson Pollock. Boy, I pretty much stiffed these guys.
That's our spotlight round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU. That's our look back. Now, back to the present.
Let's go on to round four, which is Francine's chance to get a little even here. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff 10 points, Arnie, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word snout band.
Snout band?
S-N-O-U-T-B-A-N-D, snout band.
I have all their records.
Gentlemen? Just a quick reminder, on Saturday, September 24th, we'll open our season at St. Joseph College in West Hartford, Connecticut. Then on Saturday, October 15th, it's matinee and now evening performances at Bemis Hall in Lincoln, Massachusetts. Then in November, it's off to Seattle for two shows at Town Hall and a Community Says You at Port Townsend. Tickets, information, and details available at saysyou.net. SAYSYOU.
But it's wonderful, just marvelous.
Briefly, Says You pauses. We'll be right back.
Hi there, I'm Gian Gomeshi. Jane Fonda is an Oscar-winning actress, a writer, a political activist, fashion icon, and fitness guru. In her new book, Primetime, she shares her wisdom on living out life's third act, a feature chat with Jane Fonda, coming up on Cue from PRI, Public Radio International.
Weeknights at 10 o'clock.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers.
You know, people develop strong attachments to their cars.
Yeah, and it's very hard to tell them. It's time to move on.
Something my brother's heard from every one of his wives.
Anyway, we have a way to ease the pain a bit. Now you can donate your car, and the net proceeds from its sale will benefit this station.
Interested? We thought so. Here's what to do.
For information on supporting Nashville Public Radio with your vehicle donation, visit our website, wpln.org.
You're listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. Coming up in about 17 minutes at 10 o'clock is Studio 360, and at 11 o'clock it's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Right now the time is 9:43. It's 77 degrees in Nashville.
So glamorous, you can't blame us for being amorous. Amorous, it's wonderful, marvelous. Fun to say that you should care for me.
You can hear Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net.
Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available. That is the East Hill Classic Jazz Quartet. Thank you very much, you guys. Thank you for giving us a little time with the word snout band. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Well, it is, I would say the most common form of argument that you will find in just about every realm of life from early childhood on is between two snout bands. And it goes something like this. You're stupid. No, you're stupid. No, you're stupid. Oh, yeah? Well, no, I'm not. You're stupid. It is someone who is constantly contradicting the person who's with him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I know you are, but what am I?
Someone who constantly contradicts is a snout man.
Right. No matter what.
Okay. That could be it. Francine, what have you got for us?
Well, I'm sorry to be so obvious.
Yeah.
But it is the noseband on a horse's bridle.
That's it? The noseband on a horse's bridle. So we went counterintuitive this time.
Yes.
Okay. The noseband on a horse's bridle is the snout band. Okay, could be that. Doug, what say you?
Well, Francine was very, very close there.
Oh, she was.
Yes, she was, actually. It originated in alligator wrestling. And it was, in fact, a band that was put around the snout of an alligator so the alligator wouldn't win immediately.
Bit of a handicap.
Yeah. Keep it all fair.
Let me ask you a question. Has there ever come a time when you take the snout band off?
Not if you want to.
So it's kind of an alligator restrictor of some variety.
Yeah, an alligator restrictor. Yeah,
throw that band around the alligator and that's it.
And you can pin him in 2 minutes.
Okay, good. And then rub his stomach and the feet go and all that. Okay.
Wow.
It is either an alligator restrictor, the horse band on the nose band on a horse's bridle, or someone who constantly contradicts someone. It is one of those three, and the choice is yours, Arnold.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Let's put that horse and that alligator in the ring together. Well, guys, what do you think?
I think it's Tony.
I do too, and I never thought I'd
why
say
would,
that.
Why would he? I know. After listening to everybody, all of a sudden, what sounds very intriguing is a contrarian. Why it's a snout band is beyond me. But for the sake of sanity, I think we'll go with Tony.
You're going to go with Tony.
Snout band. I
We're
like
We're not
that.
Literal at all tonight.
Yeah.
That's the team's decision.
I don't think it is a literal anything. Yeah.
We could be wrong.
We could. Are we,
but
are
then
we
again,
together on this?
That's
We're
the
together
fun.
On this. We're together on
we
this.
We could be wrong. We'll be wrong together.
We're partially unanimous.
Okay. They are partially unanimous
right.
in their choice.
Yeah, we're also half non-fat milk, I think.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there.
Non-dairy creamer.
Non-dairy creamer.
I say this every time.
Yeah.
Non-dairy creamer. Drives me crazy. I don't want to know what it isn't.
Yeah.
It's a pet peeve. I live with it every day.
Yes. Nothing like having a pet peeve,
yeah,
too.
It's true. You have to get rid of it.
What's so neat is a pin,
you don't
guys.
Have to walk it, at least.
Tony, they have come to the conclusion that the contrarian, someone who constantly contradicts someone, is what a snout band is. Is that, in fact, the actual definition?
Speaking on behalf of my split personality, no, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. It's one who constantly contradicts his
yes. There you go. 10 points.
Why?
They're just having one of those days over there. Let's go on to round 5. Many times, cinema buffs have noted that movies are placed in movies. For instance,
Simple Jack was a movie that was found in the movie Tropic Thunder.
Okay. And who's ever heard of either one of those?
Never heard of Tropic Thunder?
That was a big movie last year.
It was recent.
Robert Downey. Oh, it was recent. Yeah. Oh, no wonder.
Yeah, you got to get out more, Paul.
Tropic Thunder. Okay, those video games, you know?
All right. All right. So do you get where we're going here?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the title of the fictional movie. You give me the title of the movie in which it appears.
Okay. Well, I have to go now. Me too. I hope you're going to win all the points.
Try this one, Carolyn. The French Mistake.
The French Mistake.
The French Mistake.
Oh, my goodness. I thought you would get this right off. The French Mistake.
The Pink Panther.
No, that's not it.
The French Mistake.
The French Mistake.
Oh, I'm so surprised. I thought this was the easiest one to start with.
Really? The French Connection.
No, not the French Connection. This is called The French Mistake.
Julie and Julia?
Whoa! What a great guess. That is a great guess.
There's no movie in that movie.
I'm going to guess.
Yes?
Singing in the Rain.
Oh, no.
No.
The French Mistake.
No.
I can't believe it.
Gigi?
No, I could give you a hint. You'd get it right away.
Well, give me a hint, and I'll get it right away.
It was, it was directed by Dom DeLuise.
Oh, my goodness. Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles is exactly
French
right.
Mistake. Really?
I can't give you 10 points. I'll give you too big a hint for that. Give them 5 points because I gave them a tremendous hint, but... Very good, Arnie. I thought you'd get that right.
I don't remember the title. I just remember him.
Yeah, The French Mistake. And this French is unfortunate, mistake. Paula, but there's nothing I can do about it. Tony.
Wait a minute.
Oh, no, it's me. Yeah.
Yeah, Tony, in what movie would you find the fictional movie, The Dancing Cavalier?
Oh, Singing in the Rain.
Singing in the Rain is exactly right. 10 points. Sorry about that, but that's.
There you go.
Why don't you give me another one then?
All right, this one is worthy of you. Arnie, try it. Home for Purim.
Oh.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. The head is in the hands.
Home for the Holidays.
Home for Purim. P-U-R-I-M.
It's Woody Allen.
No, it's not Woody Allen.
No. Wait a minute. It's Christopher Guest.
It is Christopher Guest.
And it's For Your Consideration.
For Your Consideration is exactly right. No one else in the world gets that except you and Doug.
Oh, God.
That was, the studio demanded it be changed to Home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right. Home for Purim.
This is a murderous one, Francine, but give it a shot. The fictional movie was Habeas Corpus. I can give you a hint if you need it for this. Okay. Habeas Corpus.
Let's go with that hint.
Starring Bruce Willis and Julia Roberts.
Oh.
Okay, so they're spies.
What movie were they
in? No, they're not.
This was a fictional movie starring Bruce Willis and Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts. Lassie Goes Hawaiian.
Lassie Goes Dingo, yes.
Lassie Goes Dingo.
Gidget Goes Commie.
Lassie Gets Married.
Habeas Corpus.
Oh.
Well, what movie were those two in together?
What a glorious clue that is.
It was a big hit.
Student of American popular culture.
It's a movie about movies, and that's why they were in it.
It's a movie about movies.
Oh. Is like Blake Edwards directed?
No, not Blake Edwards.
Oh, it's not the one about that has that. Oh, here we go.
Keep going, Doug.
You know, the movie with that guy in it,
Right.
I saw that one.
Guy.
It is the movie with that guy, right.
The tall actor.
Who's tall?
Actually, I think he is 6'5", but I
don't know. Yes, exactly.
No, I don't know.
That's the guy I mean.
Bruce Willis is 6'5".
No, the tall actor. I think he is 6'5".
He plays the executive, and he's married to, what's her name?
Right.
The one with the hair.
Susan Sarandon.
He's married to Susan
Sarandon.
Welcome to the Says You spinoff.
Oh,
right. Short-term memory loss.
Susan Sarandon is something like the proposition or the contract or it's very savvy 1980s type movie.
I hate to tell you, he's exactly right.
Yeah. And a lot of trees in it and a lot of cars parking.
You're right.
And a great plot, which escapes me right now.
Yeah. He's exactly right.
You know who's married to Susan Sarandon? That very tall...
He's not married. He never was married.
Okay.
And they're not together anymore, but that's okay.
Oh, right.
See, she's forgotten the weed.
Bull Durham.
Yes, exactly. That guy.
Okay. Robbins.
Yeah. Tim Robbins.
Robbins.
And it was,
Tim Robbins plays this
slick executive who's got this property to consider, and it's about the whole process of making movies in Hollywood. It's very cynical.
That's exactly right. He's describing the entire plot, but we're running out of time, ladies and gentlemen.
Why do you need a title?
I suppose.
Go see it.
Give them 7 points.
Oh, just a minute. It wasn't the player.
Yeah, it was exactly the player.
Yeah.
10 points. What a
player.
What a tortuous road that was.
It took 2 weeks to come up with the answer.
It took 2 weeks to come up with the answer.
Not enough, anyway.
Actually, at the end, Bruce Williams rescues Julia Roberts from the gas chamber at the end of the player.
Right. Yeah.
Try this one, Paula. Chubby Rain.
Chubby Rain?
Yes.
Chubby Rain.
Chubby Rain. Chubby Rain.
Oh, Pink Flamingos.
That's just such an excellent guess, but it's not right.
Chubby Rain.
Chubby.
See, I tried to pick movies that I knew you had seen, at least, to give you a... Chubby Rain.
Chubby Rain. I don't go to movies. No.
Chubby Rain.
What is Chubby Rain?
Oh. Don't say it out loud. Does anyone in the audience know this?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. All right, don't say it out loud.
Okay, Chubby Rain. Is it a comedy?
Well, yeah.
Of course, it would be Chubby Rain.
I guess you'd call it a comedy.
I guess
it's a Bergman
would.
Film.
Yeah. So do you know it?
I don't, but it's your problem, not mine.
Got that right.
How right you are. Chubby Rain.
Is that a Woody Allen movie?
No, it is not.
Okay.
Oh, boy. I thought you would know this. Does anybody up here know it?
How about a hint?
Sounds like Ben Stiller or something.
Hairspray.
No, not Hairspray.
Is this a poke at Purple Rain?
No.
No.
All right, from the audience?
Bowfinger.
Bowfinger.
Oh, geez. Bowfinger is exactly right, and I thought you would know that because I knew
didn't
you...
Didn't see it.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't see it?
No.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I've never even heard of it.
Goldfinger?
Bowfinger.
Bowfinger.
What's Bowfinger?
Try this one, Doug. Ants in Your Pants, 1938.
Oh, that's from Sullivan's Travels.
Boy, that's exactly right. It is from Sullivan.
One of my favorite movies.
As you well record, and it was a great comeback. 70 points, but it wasn't enough. This is a big week and a big time for Arnie Reisman. 95 points, winners this week. Congratulations. That is all we have time for this week. We want to just take a moment and thank the people here at Hobart and William Smith Colleges for inviting us and having us here on Alumni Weekend. Thank you very much, folks. It was a great pleasure to do that. We hope you have a great weekend here. Thanks so much to Kelly Bradley, Bruce Purdy, and all the folks here at the Smith Opera House. Thanks especially to Aaron Reed and our friends at WEOS in Geneva for your help and support. Scher and Salk and other writers, Antonio Oliart mans the meters, and Zach Moore is the associate producer and webmaster. We leave upstate New York this week with the thought that you know you're from upstate. If the mosquitoes have landing lights... And you clean the barbecue to keep the bears off the back porch. So long, folks. We'll see you next time. Support for CSU in Geneva, New York comes from Hobart and William Smith Colleges and the good folks at WEOS-FM in Geneva. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says you. Created and produced by Pippin and Finch. Boston.
You've been listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule for all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, we'll talk with the great master of literary journalism, John McPhee, about his craft and his collection of personal essays, Silk Parachute. Plus, we'll talk with singer, songwriter, and one-of-a-kind star Elvis Costello about his album National Ransom. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11.
Nashville weather for today, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm this afternoon, and a high in the mid